Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Wednesday. Today is April 29th, 2015. I'm Michelle Fiché, filling in for Jeannie Rice, and I'm here today with Dr. Timothy Hayes. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with our host. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. Now, let's welcome Dr. Tim in support of developing our inner process of Aramaic forgiveness.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks for being here on the switchboard. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for being here, and I'm looking forward to spending some time with you here.
Well, I was honored to get the call last night to ask me to sit in and hold a space while Michael and Jeannie and the people on the intensive are doing still point breathing today. And I don't know what their status is, but they might join us at any time. So here's our intro. We're here to support people in growing into their ability to have a healthier, happier, more productive, more loving, more creative, more joyful life. And we're here to teach and support people in applying and using the tools that allow that to happen. And what came to me this morning was the idea that we're really here to try and help people at whatever level of their spiritual maturity, spiritual awakening, emotional, psychological sophistication, at whatever level, there are tools that, because of their simplicity, are truly available to a brand new initiate, someone who has never dabbled in the spiritual realm or the psychological realm before. If they have the awareness that they're uncomfortable with their current psychological or emotional state, then these tools are, despite what my mind might tell me when I look at a page full of words, if I can read, these tools are available to step me through a process that will actually improve the quality of my experience of life moment to moment to moment. And this is in all conditions. This is at any level of physical, emotional health, financial stability, etc. And while these tools are available and can help people who've never been introduced to anything about psychological or spiritual knowledge, they're also able to help people who are at the most advanced levels in their mind of psychological and spiritual sophistication to go to the next level and to deepen your processes. Michelle said, to learn the tools is one thing. To apply them is to have an experience which transcends all words. I really like the way Abraham Hicks says this. Words don't, words don't teach. Only experience teaches. So we're here to help people understand how to experience what in the ancient Aramaic was called forgiveness. It was called shebag. To cancel, to dismantle, to throw out, to put down, to drop, to do away with anything in my mind-body energy system that's less than love. Anything that has me perceiving the world as an angry, bitter, dangerous, hurtful, confusing place. That's an internal construction of my mind. It is part of my active perception. And the Creator put in me, as He did in every human, or she did in every human, the idea that there's an alarm system. And my alarm system is any kind of physical, mental, or emotional state that is unpleasant. From the most mild discomfort or displeasure to the deepest rage or pain. This my alarm system going off telling me, Tim, you're in error. Your thoughts are off the mark. And if you would have a different experience of life, simply set a different goal. If you would have a different experience of yourself in this moment, simply reassess your decisions, your conclusions, your assessments, your beliefs, and shift to a more accurate perception, which is all there is the One. All there is the mind of God. All there is this energy of creation that is trying to express through you in each moment. And when I do that, I have a better experience of my life. And there's a specific tool for doing that from the ancient Aramaic, and that was called shebag, or to forgive. And Dr. Michael Rice and his team of translators, and Jeannie Rice with her tireless work for years, have made this available on a website where this deceptively simple process of the reality management worksheet, or the forgiveness process, is put onto an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, and you can download it for free on a PDF file, print it out, and start reading and filling in the blanks without having any degree of sophistication, without having read any philosophical books, without ever having read the Bible, without ever having known what the true spiritual teacher, Gandhi, Buddha, Muhammad, Yeshua, no matter if you've never been introduced to any of those people and their teachings, pick up this piece of paper that has words on it. Read the words, fill in the blanks, and you will absolutely have a different experience of yourself in the moment. And my experience has been, from each and every time I've picked up the worksheet process, that it ends up demonstrating to me the power of my ability to change my experience in the moment to a more loving experience, to a more joyful experience, to a more calm experience. And that's what we're here to help support people in doing. Again, from the first level initiate who's never been introduced to any concepts like this, all the way to people who say they're a master at a spiritual teaching or tradition. And where you can get that tool is on the website at www.whyagain.org. If you click on the red and white bullseye, or the link at the top that says Start Here, it takes you to a page where you can download Chapter 24 of Dr. Rice's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again?, where he explains this process in detail and the how and why of it working. And you can download the most recent version of this worksheet process I'm referring to, which is, has mostly been called the Reality Management Worksheet, and now it is called Change Your Mind, Change Your Life, or something like that, Stress Management Worksheet. You can also download more than a dozen audio files of shows like this one, internet shows, where people were actually calling in with a problem, a real-life problem that was going on either for a day or several decades, and Dr. Rice or Jeannie stepped them through this worksheet process live in the radio show. And it's recorded there, as a set of instructions for you to get deeper and deeper understanding of the process and how it might apply to you, deeper and deeper understanding about how the process might apply to a financial situation in one instance, a relationship in, situation in another instance, a physical ache or pain situation in another instance. The full spectrum of difficulties that humans experience can be addressed with a tool that's this powerful, that is this deceptively simple and yet powerful enough to handle a myriad of problems. So our invitation is for you to go to that website, click the link, notice that it's free, notice that you don't even have to be put on a mailing list. You click on the link, you download the PDF file. If you click on the link, you download the MP3 file. Introduce yourself to this very, very powerful tool. And once you do, if you have questions about how to apply it or if you have a testimonial about how it's made a difference in your life, give us a call. Your calls, your questions, from the most advanced to the most basic, are what make this radio show so powerful. They make this the support tool that it's designed to be. So I'll take a breath and see if we have anybody with their hand up or anybody in the chat room that has a question. Michelle?
Nada. Neither. We have no hands up and a couple guests in the chat room, but guests can't really chat. They have to actually create a login ID in order to participate with Blog Talk Radio's chat room. So right now it's kind of quiet, and we've got a taker. So 970, it sounds like Colorado. Maybe it's Fred, I don't know. Your mic's on. Hi, who do we have today?
Hi, this is Cindy from Pagosa Springs, Colorado.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi. I had actually two questions. The first one is very simple. For Dr. Tim, you were talking a couple days ago about spending your weekend studying and reading a book that Dale Ellen Hoffman recommended for you. Is that something you would suggest that others read relating to this work? You seem to be really excited about it. And if so, what was the title?
Well, the book I read, and I talked about it on air because we had also talked about how I made available the recording of Dale's talk. And in that talk, he mentioned the book. So the only reason I mentioned that book on this call was to highlight the fact that it's really not a book for beginners. There's nothing in that book that a person needs to be able to make their life better, to be able to use these tools or understand this tool. This is a book about higher level questioning and doing deep research into ancient Egyptian texts and the Coptic, which came out of the Egyptian. And so it really isn't relevant, except to say that it's a more advanced level. And the analogy that I drew was most of us are familiar with physics and what they call Newtonian-level physics. And Newtonian-level physics has to do with things like gravity and friction and the law of inertia. And with that level of understanding about our physical world and the way these laws of the universe operate, we are able to build bridges, cars, planes, rockets to the moon, and skyscrapers, and they function beautifully. So the teachings that Dr. Rice has on whyagain.org and what's available in the worksheet process is, in my analogy, just like the Newtonian physics. It's all I really need to make my life better. And there may be a whole deeper level of knowledge and perception and understanding that's possible in the world. And yet I don't need that to make my life better. I don't need that to dismantle my anger in this moment. I don't need that to dismantle my fear. I don't need that to remove the roadblocks to my doing the thing that I know I want to achieve, but I keep procrastinating. I don't need that to heal my relationship with my son, my mother, my father, my friend, my sibling from 20 years ago. And so I try to put forth the analogy like this. If there's a person whose car won't start and they need their car to get to work so they can keep their job, so they can pay their rent and feed their children, all they need to know about is, am I getting enough gas and water mixture or air mixture into the engine, and is the spark and timing there right? Which piece of the car isn't working right? They don't need me to know, they don't need me to tell them, well, do you know that thing you're calling a car isn't even really a physical thing? That it's made up of molecules that are made up of atoms, and the atoms it's made up of are just energy packets that pop in and out of existence? I could give a lecture on that, but that's not going to help that person get their car fixed, get to work, get their job, have their house, feed their children. Does that make sense?
Yes, makes perfect sense.
So the kind of book that Dale was talking about is more like quantum physics and super advanced, and that's not what this radio show is about. This radio show is about the practical tools. How can we help you if you're in anger or fear or sadness, if you're in a relationship conflict with somebody, if you're stuck with a goal that no matter how loving it seems to you, every time you load it in your mind, you end up feeling angry, sad, scared, hurt, or helpless. Then we have tools for you that are very practical, like the reality management worksheet.
Okay, that answers my question. I think I'll stay on the road that we're on with this. And then I had a question a couple of days ago. Actually, it was when Michelle was sitting at the airport, and I'm sure she was exhausted, but she phoned in, and I heard her ask a question, and I wanted to get a better understanding of the question she was asking, and you were kind of rushed there at the end, and I thought I knew what she was asking, and I heard what you said, but I couldn't retain that later. And it's a very interesting topic to me, because my mind was hearing it as a question about, are we judging people for their negative, we think is negative speech, and is leaving their presence, practicing holding them in a loving space when we're perceiving they're doing that? Michelle, do you remember that?
Oh, yes. We talked about it that Thursday, again Friday, and I talked a lot over the weekend with some different friends. And the fascinating thing about the topic for me, just in general, is that for as many people as I posed the question to, whether they heard it live or me repeating it later on, I had as many different takes on what they perceive the highest and best approach would be in that given moment. And so actually I think that was the most delightful part about the experience, is because everyone heard the question different, everyone perceived what was truly being asked, and what, so to speak, the, and I'm quoting my fingers here, right answer was in relationship to the inquiry. So as best I can, as I am putting myself back in that last Thursday mindset, what the question was for me was, and again, I can only assume what appeared to be, the person's thought process in terms of why they walked away. I mean, maybe they really had to make an urgent trip to the restroom at that moment and had nothing to do with what was being said. However, what was expressed was, someone putting a hand up towards someone speaking and saying, I'm not going to be around that negativity right now, and then turning and walking away. And so in observance of that, what I was trying to figure out for myself was, one, was that being done as a decision or a choice? Were they acting, reacting, or responding? And if so, with love or hostility, in the sense that, you know, keeping healthy boundaries are appropriate, and sometimes the choice to walk away might be the best option. But as I continue to process it in my own mind, thinking, well, if you really, you know, an ultimate space of love, let's say Jesus as the icon, would Jesus walk away from a raging person? You know, I don't
know.
But I was kind of just processing. And then if someone did walk away, you know, the concept of denial is you don't know what you don't know. And so if someone thinks that they're enlightened and they're going to, you know, not surround themselves with negative people and they walk away, is it accurate to think that maybe they're just avoiding something they don't want to be triggered in that moment, or they believe the person might suck their energy or something? I mean, so it's just more of like, you know, sort of looking at a diamond from all facets, and just an interesting, you know, mind candy.
Yeah. And so it kind of comes down, the real root question is, how did Yeshua handle those situations?
I guess that would be it. I mean, and as far as I recall, what Michael had to say about it is that love being a verb, and so that if you're seeing love in action, then maybe the choice to say and hold the space of love for that person to maybe transmute their negativity, or maybe approach and give them a hug, or some other, you know, verbal expression to maybe call their attention. Hey, do you recognize, you know, it appears that, you know, you're creating some disintegrative energy for yourself. So, you know, walking away is just one of several options.
Yeah. As I remember it, Dr. Tim was there with you and it was just the two of you. Do you remember this, Dr. Tim, and what on it was?
Yes. Yeah, my take on it was to try and describe it from several different perspectives and say my answer is that how it is perceived is up to each individual. So I gave the example of if Michelle called into the show and she said something that I took as negative, and I said, Michelle, you're being negative. I'm more highly spiritual than you. I'm not listening to this, and I disconnect. Then I would be in judgment of Michelle. That is not a loving thing. That is not a productive thing. That is me in denial of my own upset, blaming her for my discomfort. On the other hand, if Michelle called in and she had this thing that I was perceiving as a negative comment or question, and I were to say, wow, Michelle, that question resonates a lot of my upset, and I need to step away because I can't stay loving in this place, then I'm not judging her negatively, and I'm doing what's probably in my highest and best to go dismantle my upset, restore myself to love. And then if I have my awareness focused on my true nature as love, then if I choose to go back and be with Michelle or anybody else that I've labeled as negative, then that's a productive thing. And
okay.
The third option is if I'm Denise and Denise is watching when Michelle comes up to Tim and says something, and Tim gets triggered and says, I really can't stay here now and be loving, so I need to walk away. And if Denise says, that's wrong of Tim, he's supposed to be enlightened, he's supposed to know better, he should stay there and be the space of love for her because she's in pain, then Denise is in judgment. And she has an error. And my take on it is that what's right or wrong, good or bad, is all about the label of the person who's holding that judgment of right or wrong, good or bad. That in essence, everything's okay and it's going to work out eventually. And I get to make either a judgment, I get to be in judgment or in love. There aren't two. And if I'm in judgment, if I'm triggered, my job is to dismantle that negative energy within myself.
So when we catch ourselves judging others, that's a red flag for a possible worksheet topic, at least further thought, than to stop what we're doing?
Well, for me,
and
that's my alarm system to say I need to start breathing. I need to quit acting or talking until I'm out of the space of judging and back to the space of loving myself and the other. And so it could be as simple as taking a few deep breaths. It could be doing a worksheet. It could be doing some tapping. It could be doing just that nonverbal process of identifying the goal and canceling it and breathing and seeing how my perception shifts. Any of those might be useful to restore me to my true nature as love and have a better perception, and then I act.
So what happens when we find ourselves judging that something is really good?
Is that a difference? Good,
say more.
Say that
what
again, Michelle?
Yeah, just tickled me.
Say more. What do you mean by that?
Well, if I'm having a wonderful day and I'm feeling really alive and open and spiritual and opened up and everything's going beautifully, aren't I judging that?
Well,
Sorry, John.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Well, the first thing that came to mind is it is if you're ascribing it to something outside of yourself, because you got a new job, a shiny new car, a hot boyfriend, then yeah, that would.
Okay, yeah.
But if you're truly a space of love, then that's just a natural result, your internal joy. That's the heaven on earth we're working towards.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I've been thinking about this. So thank both of you. Thanks to both of you for enlightening me. And one of these days, Brad is going to call in. I'm not going to tell his story for him. I'm waiting for him to call in. I want to say judgment. In my judgment, I think he's afraid to call in because we hear so many great reports about all these wonderful support groups. And he has basically tried to reach this vets group here for a year now. And as far as being able to share this work, really nobody has really gotten interested in it. They are interested in, there's a couple of men that he's made kind of a connection with, but they are mainly interested in his Native American heritage and viewpoint. So he's thinking about not going to the vets very much anymore. And it's hard for him to tell that story. And I just told his story, but I'm not going to tell any more. But he's trying personally to do the work. I will say that. And we are doing the work. We're not just trying. So hopefully one of these days he will phone in.
Well, thank you for sharing that. It's good to know so that the people on the call can be sending their love and prayers and holding the space for that to open up when it's appropriate. And I just want to, you know, put it out here one more time. We've talked about this on a number of different occasions. And there are times when I have one or two people show up for my Thursday group. And, you know, I started back in August or September, October, November, whenever it was. And if there's been a time already when nobody else showed up. So I just stayed, watched the video, did a worksheet, waited the full time, and when nobody showed up, I went home. And I've had times when, on a regular basis now, the Thursday group, there's just myself and one other person or two other people. And that's the number isn't important. The important issue is, am I benefiting from the work, and am I carving out the time to make myself available for the work, and am I willing to share it with others if they show up and want to? So that would be my offering, and again, thanks for letting us know that so we can all hold space of love for Brad and the veterans who, you know, they are one of the groups of people in our country that have some of the greatest needs for relief, for love and support, for tools that are effective, and I just hold the faith that that will happen when they're ready.
Well, thank you. That's a very beautiful thought. Thank you. Well, that's all I have for now.
As you say that, I want to say you're welcome, and I want to say, you know, most people don't know this, but I have probably spent the last 5 years putting it out there, maybe 10, putting it out there that I have these tools other than Dr. Michael Rice's work, the energy medicine, the tapping, the neuroemotional technique, the emotional eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, the bioenergetic synchronization technique, all these different things I'm trained in, which are specifically formulated to help people with trauma. And for well over 5 years now, I have paid my own money and done advertising to put it out there to veterans and Veterans Administration officials that I'm willing to come and teach this to others, to donate my time for veterans, to have people come and see me for free or a greatly reduced fee if they're a veteran. And it's the tiniest trickle of response.
Yes.
So it's not just Brad. I want you to understand there's not anything he's doing wrong. It's a lot about all the bureaucracy and all of the stigma and all of the politics and all the trauma. You know, anybody who's deeply traumatized has fears that are beyond the average fear. And so, you know, I have maintained websites and paid the money to have websites that say, you know, heal PTSD and fixing PTSD and all these other things just to put my name out there for years and gotten no responses. Or one or two responses here, a person shows up for a session or two, and then they don't come back. So I just want to make it clear that you can relate this to Brad, that it's not Brad. It's not Brad not doing it right or not being a good enough teacher or not being loving enough. It's about people's levels of trauma and all the bureaucracy, and it'll happen when it's time for it to happen.
Oh, thank you. That's going to be really, really nice for him to hear. Really helpful. Yep. So thank you.
All right. Well, you're very welcome, and thanks for calling and sharing with us.
Yes. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Anything to add, Michelle?
One thing I was wondering, you had used the example about talking to Denise when you were explaining it to Cindy, the different approaches. And I wondered if it would be different for DeNephew.
Yes, it is. It's always different for the nephew than Denise.
All right, so...
Do you have a rim shot on the board you can add to that?
No, but we have Richard on the line from Ithaca, and he'd like to say hello today. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how is everybody?
Good. How are you, Richard?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to comment on the discussion today because I was just at the conference where I...
Richard, I need you to... I need you to speak up or speak in the phone more. I can barely hear you.
Okay. Well, I'm driving, so hang on a second. Is this better?
That is better.
All right. So I was just saying I was at a conference and did a presentation this year. And what happened was while I was giving the presentation, you know, one of the people started, rather than experiencing what I was teaching, started judging it, and, you know, rather than experiencing what I was having to teach. And so, at the end of the thing, they brought it, you know, they, well, I noticed they were judging it while I was teaching, and then, of course, at the end of the, while we had a discussion about it, you know, basically came into conflict about, well, was it this way or was it this way or what was I doing, you know, what was this, you know. And I was saying, well, I was, in my eyes, I was doing it a certain way, and they were saying, no, that's not that way, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so I ended up in conflict, you know, and basically, you know, I basically wanted to walk away from it, just like you guys have talked about, rather than being in argument about it, because nobody was going to solve it at that point as to whether it was right or wrong, who was right, who was wrong. And in my eyes, it was more a matter of they came into judgment rather than experiencing what I was trying to teach. So I felt in conflict with them, and, you know, anyway, it's an issue that's been an ongoing issue for me with this group of people in terms of always seem to be in conflict with them about certain situations. And, you know, anyway, I just...
So is there a question for us that we can help you with?
No, I just was trying to point out to this person who was on the phone before about how I'd come into conflict in a certain situation. I basically walked away from it trying to get back into a space of love myself rather than letting the anger, of the situation of being right or wrong, trying to let that go myself so I could stay in a space of love myself. So basically, I walked away from it. You know, it took me a while, but, you know, I had to go have lunch and then go be by myself to sort of resolve it internally so that I can let it go and just be in a space of love myself. Because I'm just pointing out what I did to try and so I could get out of conflict and be in a space of love myself. So I, you know, basically walked away from the situation, you know, basically saying, yeah, honoring the fact that, basically we both disagreed, you know, assumed, you know, basically said, agree to disagree at this point, you know. And
well,
then walked away from it.
Okay, and I would say that in that kind of situation, if I'm triggered, that's the better thing for me to do, is to walk away and just admit that I'm triggered and that I don't have the energy or the capacity at that point in time to learn their position, to work towards reaching disagreement rather than just blow it off and say, well, I guess we disagree. I need the energy. I need the focus on my true nature. I need to feel calm and loving if I'm going to do that with respect. And one of the issues that came up when Michelle first called in with that was the idea that Michelle was holding the conclusion that if you're truly enlightened, you don't walk away when somebody is angry or somebody's being negative. And the point I made was enlightenment doesn't work that way. Enlightenment isn't a coat you put on or a diploma that you receive and then you put it on the wall and then it's yours forever. Enlightenment is a moment-to-moment experience. And the most enlightened people on the planet have the capacity to be triggered. And if they don't realize they have that capacity to have their garbage triggered, then they will blame their being triggered or their negativity or their belief on someone or something outside of themselves, and then they're no different than any other first-level initiate who is just being introduced to the material. Whenever I think I'm too good to be triggered, or I'm enlightened and so I shouldn't have this problem or that problem, I literally actively blind myself to my own process. And the other thing I was trying to bring out as a point is, if I do that, if I'm judging myself as either being more enlightened or less enlightened than someone else, I've also moved into denial. I've also changed my perception. And I've blocked the potential for myself to learn and grow in that moment, to exit that moment as a higher order of person than I went in.
Well, one person came up to me afterwards who was sort of like the person who organized the conference and had, basically came up to me and said, well, Richard, you know, you shouldn't let that negativity, you know, come up. You should just put a smile on and, you know, accept the fact that, it's like stuff it down. Don't, you know, I sort of resented that in the fact that, you know, my true feelings weren't being expressed at that point. You know, why am I going to stuff it down? You know, why should I just put a smile on and walk away, you know, as if, oh, yeah, whatever.
Everybody has different. Let me interrupt you here, Richard, and let's say everybody has different beliefs and value systems around that. And one of the things that comes into play for me is if I'm doing a public presentation, if I'm putting myself out there as a professional and as the expert on whatever it is I'm teaching, I want to learn to take all the comments from the audience seriously. And I want to take none of them personally. And if I have a strong emotional response to what somebody else says, and I feel like I need to express that here to them now, my interpretation of that would be I'm taking it personally, and I'm no longer in a professional mode. If I'm giving a presentation, and someone wants to shout me down or interrupt me, and I have a lot of triggering responses come up in me, because from my perspective I'm supposed to be in the professional mode, it's better for me if I stay in professional mode and make a mental note of the work I need to do that just got showed to me by this interaction with these people, and it's a gift, it's a blessing, and I can go do that work later. I don't need them to hear my true feelings. I don't need them to be won over to my position in order for me to feel better. And I can stay true to what I believe my responsibility is as a professional and still also pay attention to what's going on inside of me as a person with my emotions getting triggered. And I can deal with that later. Because if I've reached the point where I understand truly how these tools work and how my mind-body-energy system works, I understand there's nothing about what this person is saying that's causing me to feel anything I'm feeling. There's nothing about this person being rude, judging my talk, not listening, or even interrupting my talk that's causing my anger or upset. If I truly understand what we're teaching in these tools, if I truly understand how the tools work, then I understand if I'm feeling upset in any situation, at any moment, whether it's personal or professional, it's not being caused by anything outside of me. So that's what I would add.
Richard, I'd add that Course in Miracles, Lesson 153, in my defenselessness, my safety lies.
I'm sorry, my phone was... I didn't quite catch what you're saying, Michelle.
Defenselessness is strength. In my defenselessness, my safety lies. Because if you're having the threat, anger attack, then that shows where your next piece of work is.
Right. Well, I appreciate what you guys have... the response. I mean, certainly, this is my work, obviously, that I need to keep working at. And so I thank you very much for the response, Dr. Kim. That was a great response.
Well, you're very welcome, and thanks for the call.
Have a great day.
All right, you too.
All right, Richard.
Bye-bye.
All right, Dr. Tim, we've got a little less than 15 minutes and two callers with their hands up. So let's start with Julie. Hi, Julie. How are you today?
Oh, I'm on mute. There we go. Hi. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Good.
Good.
Thanks for listening and wondered what you've got to share.
Well, I have quite a few thoughts during this whole conversation, and you know, I heard some of the communication that the, what is the woman's name who called in initially about all this, wanting to have you reiterate?
Cindy.
Cindy, yes. And the words I was drawn to was the whole concept of things going well, and that there's sort of an attachment to things always, you know, need to be going well, and then I feel better and I'm okay, and when they're not going well, then it's not okay. And I'm not so sure that's what she said, but with regard to the person who has the support group and asking him to call in, I think, is his name Brad? Was his name Brad?
Yeah, that's her husband.
Oh, it's her husband. Okay. All right. Thanks. Well, you know, I call in all the time. Sometimes I'm really having a good time with things going well, and sometimes I'm not having a good time with things going well. But the point that I'm wanting to make is that things are always going well, regardless. So if we get into having to get fixated on holding on to things having to be going a certain way and define that as going well, then we're kind of having to go into judgment. That puts us right into judgment and even denial of what else is there. And that's really what goes on in this process, is that we have our willingness. Okay, you could call it's going well when I'm using my willingness to successfully choose to use the tools, whatever tools they are. And so if we see a person that we don't know that well walking away from a situation that looks like they're avoiding it to us, that's our perception. We don't know what's going on in their mind about themselves or about the others or about their trigger or whatever it is for them. It's none of our business. What our business is what's going on inside of us. And that's, like Dr. Tim was saying, a moment-to-moment. Enlightenment is a moment-to-moment experience. And so it's kind of like what we get to do is remain present to whatever comes up, percolates up, whatever appears. And eventually we know that there are many aspects of what we see, experiencing and seeing that are probably not true. If we use the tools enough, we've learned that, you know, we could look at it again and maybe see something else. And so the thing is that it's always shifting, you know, and we become the remedy to any of our problems when we just use the tools, at least for ourselves. And that is enlightening to some degree. But I want to share something. It shifts because, and that's why there are these layers. That's one thing Michael and I talked about the other day when you guys were talking, is that, you know, this 77 times 7, it just keeps going. And if we resist that, then we're not thinking things are going well. And if we go with that flow, we get to uncover a little more that is actually an interfering energy that's a barrier to love's presence. So so in my life, I have had this notion that I need to sell my house and unburden myself from the encumberment of the debt, the mortgage and all the upkeep and the actual liability that a home is. And So I set a goal. I'm going to sell this house and buy another one. And so I got to operate from that for a while, but then more things started coming up, and I realized, well, I was making decisions out of fear instead of love, and that I was actually operating from wanting someone to rescue me, like my father or my brother, and then thinking in contrast to that, well, I can just be on my own. I do much better on my own, you know, and I can think for myself, take for myself, make better decisions for myself. Well, that might be true. It's also tied into, you know, power person patterns and authority figures and things like that that I have to look at too. So I have learned that it's pretty immense, the number of details that are involved in any one goal. And I can get overwhelmed by it easily, or I can trust that each new thing that comes into a view for me to look into is an opportunity to remove a barrier to love's presence. And I may not need to sell a house and buy another one. I may not need to go through all those kinds of solutions, trial and error, if I just keep looking at the entirety of what I've set in motion with any goal that I may have. And that's what Dale Allen Hoffman talks about a lot, is the entirety of the situation and the entirety of what we're praying for. So if we're praying for, I want everything to be going well, then we get whatever's in the way of that. So I hope this is doing something to alleviate. Oh, and he also talks about, and this is all the, you know, from translations through the Aramaic.
So Julie, let me just interrupt you for a minute because I'm getting quite lost. You just said you hope this is doing something. What do you hope this is doing?
Oh.
What do you hope what is doing? You're talking on the show or the show itself? What is it that you're saying
well,
you're hoping this is doing?
There are many. I'm saying that there are a lot of factors that we've discussed that are a lot to tie together. And
all right, let me interrupt you for a minute because there are a few things that you were saying there that you were talking about. It's easy to get overwhelmed and there's all of these details. And I would offer that, yes, it's possible to look at it that way. And sometimes people pick up the reality management worksheet and they say, this is too complicated, there's too many words, this is too complex, I can't understand it. And those same people, a month or two later, if they've been coming to the support group, they've heard somebody else, watched somebody else do it, they breeze through the worksheet as though there was never a problem. And then there are people who, they look at the worksheet, it's too complicated, it's the 7-step reality management worksheet process. And then someone like Magda will come up with a 5-step simplified worksheet process, which has 1/3 as many words on it, or 1/4 of the words on it, bigger print, same size page, and they look at that and say, it's too complicated. So I would ask that you come back to this show. Listen to this again. It's in the archives. Listen to your speech, and listen to how you went on and on. And then you've talked about how it's easy to get overwhelmed and it's easy to have all these details that you need to control. And I would offer it isn't. It's simple. And that there's a lot of truth in the words you were using, and then you would speak over that truth and layer one layer of complication after another on top of it.
Well, okay, then I was only trying to have some empathy because I know how I go through the process, and there are times when it doesn't look like it's going well just because of it not seeming complicated, like just seeming complicated because I have a lot of variables, and it's easy to get lost in them instead of trusting, you know, that
also,
I can just look at them
and
they and are
also easy to
being
trust.
Removed. Pardon?
And I want to catch what you're saying, because you keep saying it's easy to get lost in them, and I want to say, okay, and it's also easy to just use
easy
the tool. It's also easy,
yeah, and
to
easy
trust.
To find it, right, easy to find your way out of it, too, yeah.
It does
so
take effort,
more,
though.
Yeah. Okay.
Michael talks a lot about the difference between describing something as hard versus acknowledging that it takes some effort, But having something take some effort is not the same as having it be hard. What's hard is layering all these complications over, getting into one of the most powerful traps of the egoic mind, the non-being mind, which says, I got to figure this out. I've got all these details. How do I sort the details? How do I get this solution? How do I understand my codependent? How do I get, whether is this an ancient Aramaic thing or is this from my own bloodline? Is this, that's my egoic mind putting me in a trap if I let it go there. And the more simple, the better. Here's how simple. I put my hand over my heart. I take a nice deep breath or two and I say, Timmy, sweetheart, you're in pain. Take a few deep breaths. Back away from all of these details that your egoic mind is saying are so wrapped around and involved in this. Just breathe. You're in pain. Now, once we calm down, focus on the breath, do the first three Beatitudes. Breathe, feel it deeply, and let it flow through me. Then I'll look at what's going on, and then I'll decide what to do. And I guarantee you this, every time I've done that in my life, when I go back and look at it, it's nowhere near as complicated as my mind was telling me when it was trying to figure it all out. Breathe, feel it, and let it flow. And then go back and see if there's any way that from that perspective you can even make it look as complicated as it did when you were in the middle of your egoic mind trying to figure it out. Michael talked to the last time we brought this up. I said from his lecture from 2009 or 2010 that there were three solutions for the non-being mind, the egoic mind. One is, I got to figure this out. And that's a trap. The second one is, I have to figure out a way to achieve the goal of fulfilling my power person's needs from when I was young. And my power person may not be in front of me right now, but I'm going to project that goal and the need to have it fulfilled on whoever I'm in a conflict with right now. And the third solution, which is the false solution for the egoic or non-being mind, is I need to control everything and everybody in this situation so they don't step on my pain. And I would offer that if you go back and listen to this with nice full breaths, listen to your talking and see what you get out of it and see how many times you said, and it's complicated, and it's overwhelming, and it's, you know, it's easy to get stuck in this. And I would offer, it's also easy to step back, take a breath, and allow. Way of Mastery will tell us that allowance is one of the keys to the kingdom. Allowance and surrender. So, do yourself a favor, because I heard lots of words, and I heard lots of energy about how hard it is and how complex it is. And I think you'll be able to hear it differently if you go back with some deep breaths and try to keep these three solutions in mind, the false solutions of the egoic or non-being mind. Number one, I got to figure it out. Number two, I have to achieve the goal I think my power person needed way back when. Number three, I need to control everyone and everything to keep from my pain getting stirred up. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for calling, everybody who called. Thank you, Julie. We're out of time. Please come back tomorrow. Michael and Jeannie ought to be back. And in the meantime, try to use these tools or pick them up and use them and see the result you get in your life. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.